Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, you got me doing some last-minute doodling here. Just trying to keep up on everything that's going on. Happy 28th day of July, 2021. It is a Wednesday, I believe. Well, I was up early this morning. I won't tell you this. I was up. Yeah, I'll tell you. I got up. I awakened at 3, and I – you wrestle trying to go back to sleep. You know you're not going back to sleep. I knew I wasn't going to go back to sleep. I got some stuff to do. I said, Lord, I'll just take a nap earlier. And I got up and my feet hit the floor and Michelle immediately woke up. She says, what are you doing? So I'm getting up. I can't sleep. I got some stuff to do. And she looked up the clock. And anybody know what the clock said? Yep. 3:33. In fact, she said it. Now, I was awake before 3:33, but my feet hit the floor at 3:33. So, Lord's trying to tell me something there. Hey, listen, if you would out there, a bunch of you out there, I know there's a lot of you out there. Just pray for our daughter Maggie and her husband Isaiah. Maggie's pregnant. I don't know how many weeks, how many like 7 months maybe. I don't know. Due in September 26th, they've just had some issues. You know, they do home births and all that kind of stuff. They don't go to the doctor, to the hospital. And they've had some issues pop up. Well, they had to go have an ultrasound yesterday, maybe another one today. And so if you would, that little baby's fearfully and wonderfully made. And just pray that you guys would lift up my daughter Maggie and her husband Isaiah. And, the fear comes in. Man, fear comes in. And, you know, Maggie lost a child 6 months ago. And so, you know, hey, right? We know how the devil attacks and attacks the mind. And I know there's some great prayer warriors out there. And we just covet your prayers this morning. It's like heaviness. It's a spirit, isn't it? It's a spirit of heaviness. It's a heaviness. And we're not going to let the devil steal that for sure. I got a different show for you today. I got to confess to you. By the way, can somebody explain to me why? Is it Simone Biles? Is that her name? That little gymnast. Where's Black Lives Matter? Anybody know where Black Lives Matter is when they're changing all the rules on Simone? They're changing all the rules. She's so good that they had to change the rules, the way they judge it. In fact, they said that what she does is so much better than anybody else. In order to make it fair, they're going to grade her differently. And of course, she didn't compete any further than that. Probably heart sick. Who knows what's going on? We live in the craziest. Yeah, we live in a crazy world, don't we, folks? Don't we live in a crazy world? So listen, let me get back focused. I've been distracted. I've been up forever, it seems like. Let me go here. I can't click the right thing here. Let me go to this. There is what I want to do. No, that's not what I hit the wrong thing. There it is. Hey, Joe Allen had a grandbaby. Grandson, God bless you, Joe. Glad everything went there. And boy, there's nothing like having grandchildren, is there? There's nothing that changes your life like having grandchildren.
Yeah, thanks for y'all's prayer.
Yes, sir. It came fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, and you know, Reggie said something there just before the pre-show. Folks, they're really messing with us. Listen to me. We are at war, folks. We are at war. And the seed of the serpent is after our seed. Somebody thumbs up me on that one. You understand that?
Amen.
Especially at this time in this place, the seed of the serpent is after our seed. There's no weapon that's formed against us going to prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment against us shall be condemned. This heightened war with the pandemic and all that kind of stuff is really, really, really amped up. Now, normally I come on and I give you an overview of what's going on and the vaccines, and I'm going in an entirely different direction today. So if you tuned in to hear that kind of stuff, we may do some connecting of, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. And Jared, if you care, Spencer, I'm tired. Spencer, pull up that character email real quick. I got this from somebody. I don't know who it was, but it's worthy. Look, I hate it when people don't look at you. I'm looking at my chart over here. Okay. It's worth the time that we're going to spend here today. I'm going to touch on a subject that that we dance around. Nobody dances around. And I'm going to touch on it here after we get through. Mark Trump, by the way, on Friday. Mark's been sending me some information. It's unbelievable. He can't be with us today. He has a business call. He came in before the show and told us that. Does it seem like I'm rambling? Holy Spirit, just direct me here. Will you please? Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I got this today. I don't know who it's from. It was sent to several of us, but I thought it was fascinating enough to bring to all of you today. It says, as we come to times when folks worship the image of the beast, I'm thinking the image will be on a coin or a token, since it's tied into buying and selling. So I watched a video describing the origins and context of the mark of the beast. I took some notes. So go through this with me. We're gonna run down through this together and just see if there isn't something in there that resonates with you, okay? Character. You know, somebody puts their character on something. It's a mark, right? A character is a mark. Your character is your outward expression of your inner self. Makes sense, doesn't it? What you really believe comes out in who you are, the character. But the root word is chara, which means joy. Then the word character, this goes into the Greek and the Hebrew and all that, has only one occurrence in the Bible, and it's in Hebrews 1 verse 3. And it's a Greek word used to describe the very essence and nature of God the Father as represented in the flesh in Jesus Christ. So the character of God the Father in Jesus, right? Firstborn of many brethren. God, who at sundry times, the scripture says, and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image, there's that word, character, of his person. Okay? So his character is his express image. It's an image. It's a stamp. What would we call it? It's a branding. It's a model branding. The swoosh is Nike, right? Nike, swoosh. Things are branded. So it's an image. So the King James word, the express image, is character in Strong's Concordance. It's only used to describe the character of God in Jesus. Amazing. It's the only time that word is ever used is in describing the character of Jesus in Strong's 5481. So 5481 is character properly an engraving, figuratively, an exact impression, likeness, which also reflects inner character. So in other words, Jesus Christ was, in fact, the very image of God, the only very image of God. This, as I'm walking through this, thumbs up with me, staying with me. Listen, I'm not a Bible teacher, okay? I'm not. I'm not a deep researcher. So help me try to make sense of what we're talking about here, okay? So 5481, character was originally a tool used for engraving. Think about this now. And then came to mean a die or a mold. Finally, it stood for a stamp or impress used on a coin or a seal. In each case, the stamp conveyed the real reality behind the image. So character was the stamp. Boom. It became a stamp. You with me? We're doing okay here? It was a stamp. I'm picking this up as we go. Then it goes into some other, I don't know, to engrave or to cut properly the instrument used in engraving or carving. That's character. That's the root word of character. Stay with me. The mark his figure or letters stamped onto that instrument or wrought out in it. Hence, universally, a mark or a figure that's burned in or stamped on. That's what a character is. It's the implementation of a mark, exact impression, image of any person or thing, marked likeness, precise reproduction in every respect. It's a facsimile. Then Strong's 5-5480, the Greek word charagma is used to describe the King James word mark of the beast. Mark, stamp, imprint. I'm tying these words together, okay? And it says in Revelation 13:16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a charagma, a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man may buy or sell save he that had that mark or the name of the beast or the number of the beast. Okay, we're calling it 666, whatever. Let's continue. Strong's 5480, zargma, properly an engraving, an etching, figuratively, a mark providing undeniable identification, like a symbol giving irrefutable connection between parties. Remember Jesus, Pilate, Caesar said to Jesus, whose mark's on that? No, Pilate said, what? Whose image is on that coin? And he said, well, Caesar's is. He said, okay, I'm going to give it to Caesar. It was an imprint of Caesar, indicating it belonged to Caesar. With me? Yes, you are. So 5480's brand mark, it's a brand mark, was originally any impress on a coin or seal used by an engraver on a die. Later became the identification marker, like a brand name, a brand mark, okay? The NSA exhaustive concordance, the word origins from, the word comes from charos, to sharpen or to engrave. The definition from that same NAS exhaustive concordance is a stamp or an impress. The NASB translation says image formed or mark. So the root for charagma is charix. Charix in Strong's concordance is a pointed stake, a rampart. Original word tells you what it was. The part of speech, it was noun, it was masculine. Transliteration, charix. Phonetic, charix. Definition, a pointed stake, a rampart, using a palisade mound for besieging. Stay with me. So the mark, the charagma, is made of a charix, a stake, a pointed stick used to engrave an image. A needle, perhaps? Like a red-hot branding iron, seared into the flesh of a cow, the mark will seal a person with the brand of their master. We are clay, made of earth-like seals of old, made of clay. As we are that are referred to these Greek lexicons. May God's name be sealed in our clay form, in Jesus' name. So what's the take home? Is the injection a mark into your clay? An imprint, a mark of the beast. I don't know. Hey, I don't want to get into all that speculation, but I thought this was unbelievably fascinating. Bernie, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. You're bringing up some really, really good points. As I'm hearing this, it goes back to the first commandments. Okay, to that He is the Lord. Don't have anything else before Him. You know, a letter is also called a character. Okay, all of these things tie in, and not giving worship to it. I mean, I was just thinking about who you go to for security and who you trust and who you call your father. I mean, gee whiz. So anyway, Satan's always competing against that. You're on a line, and I don't want to get you off track because this is.
Hey, Bernie, is it possible that injection is creating genetically modified humans? Wait, no. Genetically modified organisms. Is that possible, folks? Has GMO moved from corn and beans and soybeans to people?
If they're going to change you in a way they can patent you, they're actually want to own you.
That's right, brother. That's where it's at. That's where. Oh man, I got on Clay. You're a pot of clay. Clay, what do you think?
Well, it says that they'll receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. So, our brain is behind our forehead. That's where our thoughts are, and then there are our actions and works. Many of them come from our hands. So we just need to make sure that we are marked with our thoughts and actions for Jesus and not for Satan.
Okay, so hang on. Listen now. Because this is leading up to the teaching that Mark's going to do on Friday. I want you to think about this. Whether we want to admit it or not, friends, language is energy. It's energy. Hey, Joe, now that you got that brand new baby, he's going to be speaking to you, and you're not going to understand that language, are you, Joe?
No.
You know he's saying something to you. He doesn't know what to say. But as soon as that little voice starts, something inside of you sits up, doesn't it?
Yeah, we called out for God yesterday because she had a skip in her heart after emergency C-section.
Mm-hmm.
So we called on God for her body to heal.
Okay, so here's the point I'm making, folks. Understand this. Language is energy. Do you guys ever watch the movie Jaws? Now, what would the movie Jaws been without music? And every time that shark showed up, what happened? Because why? Because that energy is setting inside of you a mindset. We better get a bigger boat. You're right, Reggie. We better get a bigger boat, right? What about music? Huh? Does music, can you hear music? Just the music? And remember the words? Sure you can. Huh? Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. I started hearing that. I remember the words. So music evidently is a language and is really, really important in what? Energy. Language is energy. It's fast. Stay with me. Oh, I let me get a couple of you in here. I'm going somewhere. Come on in. Larry, then Mel, then Craig. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. You know, this character thing that you talked about, that is fits in so firmly with where it talks about there is no other name above Jesus. That Greek word there for name has a literal meaning of authority or character. So it's not the J-E-S-U-S letters that sound so good in so many songs. It's the authority and character of who he is that is above everything. The five letters that make up the name Jesus don't mean nothing. Because if they did, half the people in the Mexican phone book would have healed everybody on the face of the earth by now.
Because of Jesus. Come on in now, Mel.
Yeah, you guys were talking about GMOs. It's my understanding that once it's sprayed with those chemicals that the plants become unable to reproduce. And the reason I say that, I think I read somewhere that if you take a seed from if you buy a tomato or something at the grocery store, an apple, and if you plant that seed, nothing will grow because by spraying the chemicals on the plants, it makes them, not able to reproduce. So I'm wondering if they're trying to accomplish the same thing in people.
Well, I would say they certainly are, right? It's always been about the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. It's always been that battle. So you guys know this, but just in case you don't, genetically modified organisms, the corn that they plant, the field corn that they plant to feed our cows, you cannot take one of those seeds and put it in the ground and grow corn with it next year because it's been genetically modified. It does not reproduce. doesn't reproduce.
And I'm not sure, but I think it has something to do with the chimera. I need to do more research on that. But
yeah, but chimera is a mixing. Yes. I don't get too far down that rabbit hole. Craig, come on in. Then Jerry.
So, Kate, you're talking about words and the power behind them.
Okay. Energy.
Right. So Albert Einstein, right? He came up with EMC squared, right? Length, height, width, time, four dimensions. A Jewish sage back in the 12th century named Nechmanides. What he did is he just kind of went back to Genesis 1. And he said, when you go and say what God said, if you go there and you go back to Genesis 1, you circle every time he did it. He said that 10 times in Genesis 1. And what Nechmanides says is we live in 10 dimensions because every time God spoke, something happened. Okay. And that here this was almost 900 years ago. And then now we have Hadron Collider and all this type of things. And guess what the scientists now say? We live in approximately 10, maybe 11 dimensions. That was 1,000 years ago by just reading Genesis 1.
Craig, you make my head spin. Come on in, Jerry, then Luann.
Morning, Coach.
Morning.
You guys are talking about GMOs. I just wanted to mention they announced here in Canada due to the flour and the wheat sort of shortage, they're going to be making GMO bread.
Good, Jerry. That sounds good. Again, that comes back to diet. Luann, come on in.
All right, I'm here. You were saying the same thing I just read yesterday about China having genetic bioweapons to kill us, to kill non-Chinese people. I put the link in the chat on that. Everything you said this morning is right there, and a lot of it is in there. That came from Mike Lindell's Frank speech.
All right.
So you know it's right.
Thanks, Luann. So now that I've cleared the deck a bit, here's where I want to go today. Again, when I woke up this morning at 3, and I didn't get out of 3:33, struggled to sleep for a little while longer. This is what the Holy Spirit laid on me at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I knew right then that I had to get up and get, so I couldn't. So anyway, I'm going to talk about the untalkable today. Is that okay? If I say, Coach, I love it when we do that. I love it when we do that. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to bring up what nobody wants to talk about. What's with this speaking in tongues stuff? What is this speaking in tongues stuff all about? I grew up Catholic. I didn't even grow up knowing the Bible. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. And then I got born again. And I was thrust into a church, which they would call charismatic. My head was spinning. I didn't know what was going on. And some of you out there, your whole life have been in maybe a Methodist church or Baptist church or a Catholic church or Lutheran church or pick any one of those denominations that you want to. And the truth of the matter is, you've probably never, ever been exposed to speaking in tongues. One of the great divisions that we have in the American church is that issue. So here, like so many things that we talk about, friends, not everybody can be right. If tongues ceased, they ceased. If tongues didn't cease, they didn't cease. You can't be halfway. Did the miracles, did the gifts of the Holy Spirit cease? And the gifts are found in, somebody help me out here real quick. I was going to do that before I came down. We know that when the Holy Spirit fell in the book of Acts, that they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I did some research this morning, and I was surprised to find out that the whole what they would call the charismatic movement didn't begin till the 1900s. I guess I didn't realize that.
Galatians 5:22.
Thank you, dear. Galatians 5:22. Will you pull that up there? Listen, I'm not a theologian. Let's walk through this together, okay? Hey, folks, you either can speak in tongues or you can't. I mean, this is what causes division within the body, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the gifts of the Spirit. I have it right here. I have it right here. Okay.
Corinthians.
What's that?
It's in Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians. You're right, Mark. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Stop a minute. I don't care if you speak in tongues or not. I don't care. Are they real or not? Is it a gift for the body or not? Did they cease or did they not? How can all of the Baptists not believe? By the way, most of the Baptists don't even believe in hardly any of the gifts of the Spirit anymore. How can all the Baptists in the Southern Baptist Convention say that speaking in tongues is ceased, they're gone, never to come again? And then you got the Pentecostals, you got the Charismatic. What in the heck is going on? Okay, thanks, Mark. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. Now, there's a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God working all of them. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one's given the Spirit of wisdom. Has that ceased? Sometimes I think maybe it has. Has the Spirit of wisdom ceased? To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Has the word of knowledge ceased? Has that stopped? Is that still in operation today? To another, faith. Has faith ceased? Yeah, for the most part. We believe in faith and bad stuff. It came by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. Has healing ceased? God's still healing people today? Or has it ceased too? To another, faith. Has faith ceased? Oh, I said that. I'm sorry. To another, the working of miracles. Have miracles worked? Have they ceased? To another, prophecy. Has prophecy, no more prophecy anymore? Did it die? Because there are denominations that will teach you that it did. To another, discerning of spirits. Some of you feel like you have that spirit, that gift of the discerning of spirits. Does everybody have that discerning of spirits? To another, diverse kinds of tongues. What? Yeah, to get diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So there are a lot of different gifts. You got a drummer and a clarinet player and a trumpeter and a bass player and right? But that's all the same band. It's all the same Spirit. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For the body's one and has many members, and all the members of of that one body being many are one body. So have the gifts ceased? Speaking in tongues, has it ceased? Pull up Pentecostal. I did some research this morning. Because a lot of us haven't been exposed to some of this stuff. You've been hiding in your Methodist church your whole life. 10 things Christians should know about the Pentecostal church. See, there's a Pentecostal church. What do we mean by Pentecostal church? A Pentecostal church is a church that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, that's where it comes from, when the Holy Spirit fell. And Pentecostals believe that the gifts are still in operation today. What do you believe? What do you believe? And do you believe the gifts aren't in operation because you just happen to go to a church of God, doesn't believe in it? Do you not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because you go to a dead evangelical Lutheran church, so the gifts ceased? What? What's going on here? Keep on going. So here are two things to know about the Pentecostal church, real quickly. I'm not going to go in depth. Pentecostalism started in 1900, and first person speaking tongues. Yeah, we don't know he was the first person to speak in tongues, do we? We don't know what was going on 500 years ago. We don't know. So it started in 1900s, Pentecostalism. Became a denomination, by the way. Pentecostal name comes from an event in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost. Go on next one, Spencer. Pentecostal can be a broad term for many churches. Charismatic. Most groups of the religion believe in salvation through baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing through Jesus, and the belief that Jesus is returning. That's good so far. 5, Pentecostals believe in speaking in tongues and divine gifts. Now, do you have to be, Can you be Pentecostal in the Catholic Church? Can you be Pentecostal in the Methodist Church, or don't they let you? Not allowed to? Not allowed to do it in that church? Go ahead. The Pentecostal Church was one of the first religious groups to ordain women into leadership roles. I don't know how I feel about that. Seven, the majority believe the Bible is meant to be interpreted literally. Pentecostal churches, buns, you know, right? We know a lot of them dress. Some sects of the religion are strict. So it goes into legalism. Pentecostalism goes into legalism. We always have to make rules and regulations out of where the spirit of the Lord is liberty, and we want rules and regulations. It's the most amazing thing. Number nine, worship can be spontaneous, not just limited to music. Along with speaking in tongues, Pentecostals dance, yada, yada. And 10, Pentecostals are the fastest growing religious groups in the world. Did you know that? Did you know that? I didn't know that. Well, who the heck are charismatics? Check that one out, Spencer. There it is. What's a charismatic movement? Well, it's a charismatic movement. Stems from a group of spiritually zealous people who seek to manifest the gifts. The word charisma means a special spiritual gift or power divinely conferred to talent from God. The charismatic renewal, as it's sometimes called, is also called neo-Pentecostalism, promotes the experiences with the Holy Spirit. So whatever its origins, let's go quickly down through this, Spence. I don't want to get bogged down. It goes on. Okay, what does charismatic movement believe? They believe in speaking in tongues, of gifts of the Holy Spirit. That Mark Collier just told us about in 1 Corinthians 12, which you just read. Here are the gifts. Thank you. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning. Am I to believe that the Baptists don't believe this? The Baptists don't believe this? Is that right? The Methodists don't believe this? Slide back down there, Spencer. You mean the Methodists don't believe in word of wisdom and word of knowledge? Baptists don't believe in faith and healings? They don't? Huh. Well, what is cessation then? Now, this comes from a different, I didn't even look for cessation on this page. I probably could have. Cessation, Spencer, it's the last one there if you can click on it. What is cessation? Cessationist is someone who believes the gift ceased. I'm not going to read down through all this because I don't want to take any time. The Apostle Paul predicted that the gift of tongues would cease. He did say that tongues would cease. So there it is, cessation. Probably half, if not three quarters, of Christianity does not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit anymore. Somebody give me a thumbs up, say amen.
Amen.
They don't believe in. And can I tell you why?
Amen.
Because everything is focused on tongues. Everything's focused on tongues. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, oh, what do you have to do? Well, you got to speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved, right? Now, folks, from my understanding of this, I want you to get in there. Hang in there with me. So let me lay a foundation. From my understanding, speaking in tongues is speaking the language of angels. Doesn't it say that, Silver? Speak of tongues of angels. In other words, it's a different language. It's a different language that we can't understand. Just like we don't understand the impact of music. We don't understand the impact of mood that is set. We don't understand that. We don't understand that. So speaking in tongues, Bible says, if you speak in tongues, you speak to angels. You don't speak to humans. And also it says that the gift of tongues is really for one purpose. Does anybody know what the purpose of speaking in tongues is? It's for edification, self-edification. Could it be speaking in tongues is connecting to an electrical source that we don't know about. We plug back in to the transformer. I don't know. But can somebody explain to me, where is the power in the church? Most of the church doesn't even believe in the gifts. They cease. Oh, my goodness. So when they talk about, okay, this is important for me to make this the way I understand this. Because the Bible says that you're not supposed to speak in tongues publicly. And if you do, there has to be an interpretation. Stay with me. Folks, there's a difference between speaking in tongues privately in your prayer closet, praying to the Lord. Bible says it edifies you. You're speaking the language of angels. And there's a give and take that happens in that. That is different from giving a tongue. Giving a tongue is when you stand up in the midst of a congregation and you begin to speak out in an unknown language. And the Bible says that if you do that, there must be an interpreter. Because it doesn't do you any good to speak out something that nobody gets. So a true word from the Lord spoken in a prophetic tongue requires someone to interpret so everybody understands what was just said. And by the way, the interpretation is not a translation. It is an interpretation is what you got out of what they said. It may not be spot on. It's an interpretation, not a translation. So this idea I hear from people, I've heard from people, that sounds like I'm important. People ask me questions about that. Coach, I had this unknown tongue came up out of my Bible says up out of your belly. It's come rivers of living water. Coach, I had this happen and I don't even know what I don't have any interpretation on. Is it the devil? Well, I don't think it's the devil. I think it's a language. Another energy source that came up out of your belly, rivers of living water. Do all people saved have to speak in tongues? No. Can all people who are saved speak in tongues? I think. I don't know. I think they can. Do all people who are saved speak in tongues? No. If you don't speak in tongues, does that mean you're not saved? No. No, it's a gift that you have to learn to exercise. Okay, I'm going to shut up there because I got a bunch of you want to get in here. Now, I'm laying this on the table for clear discussion because I don't get it's either real or it ain't. The gifts are either in operation or they're not. Somebody is wrong. Come on in, Reggie, then Bernie, then Alan.
Well, Coach, I don't know either. I can tell you that going in my past, I'm just a little testimony. It won't take long, but I was raised a highly staunch Orthodox Catholic that only went to a Latin mass, that only hung around Catholics. And I was told it was of the devil, literally. Yeah. So I stayed away from it. And as I progressed in my life, I don't know what happened. I just started praying in tongues and Dennis was witness to it and I didn't understand it and I was scared. So there is a difference between praying and speaking, you know, like speaking in tongues. So I started doing study on it and I had to go to other denominations to find out what all this meant. And I did my own research and I was like, the gifts just don't go away. So I only do it privately because that's what I'm inspired. It just happens. That's what the Holy Spirit does.
That's right.
So I'm telling you, I don't just start praying in tongues out in front of people because sometimes I have. I didn't control that, but I'm just telling you my own. I wish I had an answer, but there wasn't a clause in Corinthians where it speaks about this that said, and only for the beginning for you know the building of the church. Because right. I did talk to priests and they told church.
That's right. Listen, folks, like everything else, we have made speaking in tongues a legalism issue, right? You have to, if you're saved, you have to. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable how we just take that liberty. Oh my goodness. Good word, Reggie. Come on in, Bernie, then Alan. Boy, I got a bunch of you today.
Okay. Two things, Coach. Number one is diversity. And number two is envy. Okay. And we also need to know that sin kills the power of the church. First thing is that God gave us, look in that list, God gave us diversity, not equality.
That's right. Okay?
All right. So, and diversity is beautiful. equality, man, you go in a subdivision, every house is the same and painted the same. It's not pretty, okay?
Right.
The other thing is envy. Remember they crucified Jesus because of envy. Anytime you have rulers to have power, like, no, it has to be what I ate. That personal thing. The gifts don't come from the power of man. People can't control them. People can fake them, okay? And try and put on a show. But it's God that caused it. People can't control that.
Amen.
And, so that bothers them. And like, no, you have to do what I say. Yeah,
they have to legalize it. That's
personal
right.
thing.
They have to legalize it, make it a denomination, and you can't be part of our denomination if you do. You believe in healing? Oh, we're Baptists. We don't believe that here. Come on in. Next is Alan.
Hey, Coach. Like my pastor's wife says all the time, the Holy Ghost is better felt than telt. And how do I know it's real? Because Satan is a great divider. He's a great general. And the church is so divided up. Why? Because there's power in that. Because like you said, it's a direct connection with God.
Angels. It's a language of angels. It's a language of angels.
Daniel didn't have it, Coach. Daniel didn't have it. That's why it took 21 days for him to get the answer. We got weapons Daniel didn't have. We got weapons David didn't have. But if you're a pastor, you're only going to go as high as your pastor if you go to church.
Sure.
If you attend a church, you're only going to go as high as he is.
And
I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said this. He said, hey, boys, he said, I want you to tarry here in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. I don't want you going out here starting churches. I don't want you out here praying for the sick. I don't want you out here casting out devils. I want you to tarry here until you're filled with the power from on high. And then once they were filled with the power, that's when everything started to commence to happen.
Yeah, that's when
people
things
started getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, all this stuff. And if you're reading there, Coach, about Apollos was an eloquent man. He was a Jew that was mighty in the scriptures. And he ran into Paul, and Paul said, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? And Apollos and all his men says, we hadn't even never heard of the
never
Holy
even heard Church. Of. But Alan, that's not the argument. See, the argument is that was just for the first century. That's
well, Coach,
the
I can tell you when tongues are going to cease when we're all in heaven, when the whole church is in heaven, this thing's Amen. Over with. Tongues are going to cease. Why? Amen. Because we're going to be in direct commune with God. Listen, I've seen too many miracle signs and wonders, Coach.
Okay, listen, I gotta go. Things. I got it. Me too. Go, Dale. Then Silver. I'm with you. I didn't mean to cut you off. I've got a lot of people. Go, Dale.
Amen, Coach. You know, Acts chapter 2, 37, then Peter comes out and he says, this gift or this promise is for you, your children's children, or as many far off, and as many as the Lord has called, as the Lord called us. Yes, he has. Now it is a gift. And what Alan said, it was absolutely spot on. When Paul said, and gifts will cease, he was talking about a presence in heaven. You can't take text out of context because that defeats that whole purpose right there. Second thing is you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Okay, now, Coach, King Jesus' ministry was birthed out of a Baptist pastor, 4.0 student of the theology of Hebrew and Greek study, and he was a debater against tongues. That was his specialty, a 4.0 student. His name was Christian Fast. Guess what? Little old man came into his office one day, said, the Lord told me to pray for you. He says, I never saw that man in my life. Laid his hands on him. Boom. He was knocked out cold. He got up praying in tongues. That was a Baptist, brother. Let me tell you what, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Gotta move on, Dale. Gotta move on, folks. Hey, listen, some of you, if you go tell your pastor, he's going to tell you not to listen to Coach Dave anymore because you're not allowed to talk about this stuff, right? He doesn't believe in it, so you're not allowed to talk about it. Come on in, Silver, then Naomi. Quickly, let's go. Don't give me your life story.
I'm not giving you a life story.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm older than you.
All right.
The thing about tongues that they miss a lot, all right, is that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter addressed the crowd, he spoke his own language. And several dialects understood him.
They heard it differently, didn't they, Joe?
They understood what he was saying.
Yes.
In his own language. Okay. And that was the one type of tongues. The other type is in the spirit in our prayer life.
Amen.
The other type of thing that you were talking about is prophecy. Okay. When someone comes up in church and lays this thing out and somebody interprets it. Okay. So that, you know, I was taught by Pentecostals for a time, for like a 6 week period. They came down to my house and taught me. And they said, if you don't do this, if you don't speak in tongues.
No life stories, no life stories. So there's a difference between giving a tongue and praying in tongues. They are not the same thing. Naomi, then Mark.
Well, I'm going to give a little bit different of a perspective. People think that I speak in tongues when I speak about health and nutrition. People think that Mark speaks in tongues when he talks about energy. How many people are going to be deer in the headlights on Friday when Mark is talking?
Amen. A language they don't understand, right? That's for sure. It'll be perfect English and we won't understand it. Mark, come on in then, Joe.
What's going on?
What do you want, Larry? What do you want, Larry?
I want to say that what you're talking about.
Listen, Larry, I got six people that haven't been in here yet. You've been in here once. Go ahead.
Never mind that. I just want to say that when you let a truth be presented as the truth, you're in trouble.
Okay, good. Mark, go. Then Joe.
I didn't know you're going here today, so my facts aren't perfect. But in the early 1900s, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were running rampant, not only in America, but all over the world. In 1917, a book was written. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was titled Counterfeiting the Holy Spirit. And he came out with how all these people practicing these spiritual gifts, it's not from God, it's from the devil. The denominational churches grabbed a hold of that, and they immediately tampered down on all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's when that movement, and all the denominational churches, you still don't see very much gifts of the Holy Spirit. That goes back to that book written on counterfeiting the Holy Spirit back in 1917. Wow. The non-denominational churches keep going with that. Yeah, I know you love to research. I can look that up later today. You can look it up and find it. But that's when all that started.
That's it. That's really, really interesting, right? Because the mark that was in, the Holy Spirit was in the church. And then all of a sudden, there's a different mark inside the church. Come on, Joe, and then Tony, then Rochelle.
Oh, thanks, Coach. There's healing. I've been healed.
No. Healing ceased. It ceased.
No, I didn't. No. You want to have words, Coach? We'll have words outside on that one. Yeah, right. I've been healed. I've been healed. And some of the greatest healing ministers, Catherine Kuhlman. I mean, are you saying she was of the devil?
Yes, they are.
Bible. Well, we can have words there, Coach. I know that woman was not of the devil.
Amen.
Here's
what's happened, folks.
Kenneth Hagin, he was not of the devil.
Here's our problem. We have the spiritual component of our faith has become almost so heavenly, supernatural, that we don't know how to deal with it. See, this healings should be common, folks. This should be common. It shouldn't be the exception. But because we're sitting on the Spirit, not believing in the Spirit, squashing the Spirit, not welcoming it into our denomination. We don't speak in tongues in our church. Oh, well, that's sad. Why don't you? Well, the pastor says we don't. Oh, okay. I get you. Come on in, Tony.
Okay, Coach. Where this comes up with is 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul talks about charity. And he talks about the gifts being in part. And then the 10th verse says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's way misunderstood. When that which is perfect has come. In other words, when you see Jesus, okay, that's the perfect has come. So once you see Jesus, you don't need the gifts. But until then, you need the arsenal. Because you need to fight against the wiles of the devil. So you need the gifts. I speak in tongues probably more than you all. And I have diverse tongues. Okay. Sometimes I'll speak in tongues, go to heal somebody.
Okay, good. No life story. Good, Tony. Good. Rochelle, come on in. Then the pastor of pain. Trying to get everybody in here today.
Okay, good morning, team. Coach, I'll be quick. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay, so I'm kind of seeing a connection between what you first brought up as far as the mark and the name and this speaking in tongues. And I don't know if you meant there to be a connection or not, but I did this study very quickly, and it went over the number 666 in the Greek, which it was written in Greek by John. And if, you know, if you take those numbers, they're actually also letters in the Greek. And if you say it in the Greek tongue, it comes out Jesus. So I'm not saying that Jesus is the devil. What I'm saying is that the name of Jesus is going to be used as a weapon to divide us, to divide its members. So in a sense, this anything that he can use to divide us is what's happening, whether it's speaking in tongues or anything else.
I don't care if you speak in tongues. I'm going to say it again. I don't care if you speak in tongues, and I don't care if you do. Come on in, Pastor Payne.
Well, do you remember the gentleman that was healed of being blind and the Pharisees, and they were all drilling him how to do it? And he said, I don't know if Jesus is a false prophet. All I know is I was blind and now I see.
That's right.
So the man with the experience is never at the mercy of the man with the argument. And just like with what she was saying, hey, divided of 666 is 333.
There you go, man.
There you go.
Kevin, come on in.
Well, I was just going to say that in my life, whenever I've experienced the Holy Spirit dropping on myself or on a group, without exception, it was never expected. It just happened. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes.
It was never expected. It wasn't like, okay, Holy Spirit's going to show up in 10 minutes. Everybody get ready. We had no idea it was coming when it would drop on us. We the first few minutes, you're like, what the heck is going on here? And it just goes to show that it's of God's timing and not our own. Is it of you or is it of the Lord? And we try to put the Lord into a box, you know, that he's supposed to perform this way and things go this way, instead of just letting the Lord act on his own timing. You know,
amen.
So that's been my experience.
So the question is, did it cease? Did it cease? That's what they're telling us. It stopped. Jeff Klein, come on.
Coach, last night, Ricky Miller walked into the garage. No oxygen. He's been out for 2-3 hours in the afternoon. He walks in. I said, Mr. Miller, where's your oxygen? He said, I don't need it. His oxygen level is staying at 97% without any oxygen on him.
Unbelievable. And
the doctors told him, them lungs are hit. They're so deep with COVID, they're going to collapse, crush your heart. You're going to die 8 weeks ago.
Well, those didn't those gifts cease?
No, Coach, we know they didn't.
They didn't cease? Good. They didn't cease. Come on in, Jeff.
A quote, communist goals, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. It's intentional.
Amen. Amen. Roger. Roger, your hand's up.
Dave.
Yes. You're up.
I don't speak in tongues. I don't think I'm missing anything. I have no problem breaking bread with people who speak in tongues. Thank you.
Yeah. Good one, Roger. Good one. Come on in, Kimberly. That's good. Kimberly, you in? Spencer, I just sent you something. I want you to get it ready to go, okay? Are you RJ, come on in while we're waiting for Kim. You got to unmute yourself, Kim. Go ahead, RJ. Can't hear you, buddy. Can't hear you.
Yeah, this is such a wonderful, such a great topic. I've been taught by one of the best, and he wrote a book called The Walk of the Power, Walk of the Spirit. And without learning, the value of transformation by speaking in tongues, I'd be a complete, total meathead. At least right now, maybe I'm only a 80% meathead, but I'm growing because of the gift of edification. Through allowing the Holy Spirit to do the praying for me, because I don't know how to pray as I ought.
Amen.
And Romans
That's
8,
what it says.
Romans
yes.
8 says that. Yes.
Why do we 26. Put God in a box? Why do we put the Holy Spirit in a box? Why do we have a denomination? Somebody tell us that the Holy Spirit can't move like that. He's not That's allowed right. to move like that. He doesn't move like that anymore. That's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Come on in, Kim. Trying to get
in. Yeah, I love speaking in tongues.
it came a long time ago on me, but the enemy doesn't know what we're praying when we're praying in tongues.
That's what it
says. That's from God, and I praise God for it.
Amen. He's communicating with angels. He doesn't know. So listen, I want to finish with this. Ron Canole. Andre Crouch wrote a song, sang a song years ago. Think It Could Be Till It Happened to Me. Go ahead and play that, Spencer.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Happened to me.
Somebody told me of the joy they had. Somebody told me that in sorrow they could be glad.
Yeah.
And then they told me once they were bound, but now set free.
Yeah. Spencer, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Thank God we're not on YouTube anymore. They can't censor us because we play that. So, folks, listen. Do we really think? I don't care what your view on tongues are. I don't care. I don't think tongues are required for salvation. I don't think they're evidence of salvation. I none of that matters to me. But for any church or any denomination or anybody to put limitations on how the Holy Spirit can move and act and exhibit himself is foolishness. It's foolishness.
Amen.
So could God break, let's say tongues Amen. Ceased. Tongues ceased, coach. Is God allowed to break his rule? Is he allowed to break his rule? And how do we know tongues ceased? And is there any question in your mind that the power in the American church is missing? No power. Why? Because we no longer believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, we prayed for healing this morning, or some of you are still going to pray for our daughter Maggie and her little son and her husband and their family. Going to pray for him, because why? I believe in the healing power of Jesus. I still believe in that. I still believe in speaking healing. I still believe that God's word operates. See, it says in the scripture that healing is the children's bread. In other words, we shouldn't have to beg for it. Do your kids have to beg you for a piece of bread? They come in my house, they get grampy pills as soon as they walk in the door. Healing is the children's bread. It's there for us. But folks, going back to the very beginning, we've changed that clay man, haven't we? We've put something else inside that clay man rather than that Holy Spirit man. We've lost our true identity in the character of who God says he is. And if God is not in the healing business today, if God is not in the prophetic business today, and if God is not in the tongue talking business today, wow, I don't know what to tell you.
Amen.
I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. God bless you. See you tomorrow.